only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's taking it personally. I'm so excited for this episode. A special day for society, and I'm sure a large part of our listenership. And I want to hear, you know, your thoughts and feels. So welcome back to Taking It Personally. One of my favorite people to shit talk. Just get into the nitty gritty. You know her, you love her, content creator and host of the amazing podcast, High and Low. Welcome back to Tip, BBDB. Bravo, bravo, ducking, bravo. How are we?
I'm so good. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so we're recording this Friday, like early afternoon, aka like, you know, mid-morning. It's a big day for people because Taylor Swift's album, what's the name of the album? Tortured Poets.
The Tortured Poets Department.
Department. Okay, LOL.
Yeah.
I was thinking Dead Poets Society. Okay, so it came out at midnight, and then at 2 a.m. she's like, just kidding, there's another one. So she released, is it two albums? Is it like fully two albums or what's the deal?
Now, I had heard that. I didn't know confirmation until you just said it because I've been doing my homework this morning and getting ready for kid birthday party stuff this weekend.
Love.
But I had an inkling of that because the fans are so smart. I saw a TikTok where this woman went into Target and she saw that Target had an empty end cap preparing to put Taylor's album out. But the price tags, one of them said Tortured Poets Department. The other one said Serpent something. And she was like, huh? Is this a double drop? And so people kind of knew, people who were paying attention.
Wait, is the new... Okay, so now I'm looking at Apple Music. So one of them is the Tortured Poets Department. Oh, the anthology has all 31 songs. Swifties right now are losing their shit as we're like trying to understand the language. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So it's like a big... She gave a lot, 2 hours and 3 minutes. I mean, I just have to say at the, you know, at the jump, I am not a Swiftie. I wish I was. It's hard for me to connect to the earlier generation stuff. I think I just, even though, as you know, I am very young, I have tried to listen to Red, and because I don't have an original connection to it, it's not like calling something back to me. I haven't really vibed with it or connected with it as much as I have. 1989 is the only Taylor Swift album I have purchased, but then on Apple Music I listen to Folklore and Evermore. I mean, definitely COVID era stuff. I've listened to them hundreds of times. So it's like, I definitely support Taylor Swift in her endeavors. I'm not technically a Swiftie, but I do. There are albums of hers that I 100% connect with. I did try Midnights. It wasn't 100% for me, but I haven't listened to any of this new album.
I love Midnights.
Okay, I'll go back. I haven't listened to any of this new album because I've been saving it to use as bait for a walk this afternoon. I'm like, you don't get to listen to it until you walk. And then when you're outside getting in your steps, then your reward is T-Swift. So after my preamble, that's just my relationship with Taylor. Okay. Tell me your relationship with Taylor, our best friend, who we're talking about, like she's a Bravoholic, and how you thought of this, your initial thoughts on this album anthology.
I mean, I would not call myself a Swiftie because I can't, like, you know, recall all the facts of her life and her career. I definitely appreciate and am a fan of much of the music. And if I was a Swiftie, I'd be like mild, ultra mild, like medium hot salsa. I'd be the mild. And so I knew it was dropping today, but I forgot about it and it continued to live my life. So that's my level that I'm at with most things. I was excited about something, forgot about it, continued to live my life. And I've already listened to maybe 4 or 5 songs because I remember last night when I was trying to fall asleep and I was like, ooh, let's listen to some. And oh, they're just so exciting. She's because the album begins and it's about her relationship falling apart with her previous guy, Joe. And then towards the end, though, uptick, the Kelsey stuff hits. And so she's happy again. And it's just fun. It's a good time. And she's a dream to share it with us, to get inspired and to write these great songs.
And here's the thing that I have to say, because I haven't listened to it, but I did post on stories when it came up, because mine was like available before midnight. Then I was Googling because I was like, why am I the only one that has access to this? But it was like available 10 minutes before the first album was fully available. So I don't know what's happening there. But so I like posted a screenshot because I was like, it's here, but I haven't listened to it. But I did read a little bit about it this morning. And, you know, hot take. While I do love the Kardashians and Kim is my favorite of the Kardashians, I am extremely into her dragging Kim because I think it's fully deserved. And if you go down the like,
drag me, Monique.
I mean, like, if you go down the like the Time magazine of it all, when she did, when Taylor did her cover story and talking about the impact of what Kim did and editing that video and the Kanye we've known as a piece of shit for a while, but like Kim definitely found energy with Kanye's toxicity. I think she found power in it.
She did. She did. And that's what's so fun when you think you're with somebody who is like untouchable.
Yeah.
Like, it's a matter of time for everyone. Don't get cocky. Stay kind. You know?
You know what? We'll get into it when we talk about the Valley, but everybody thinks that they're the exception to the rule. And
they always
not,
do.
You're not. Mm-hmm. You never are. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. And then if you choose to get married, it's on you.
It's always a good idea to just back other women. It just is. That's something you're not going to regret. The odds of a man staying around 50-50. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be a part of the womanhood your whole life. You might as well just not be evil to another woman if you get the opportunity.
And again, I like Kim. So it's not like I'm like, I'm not anti-Kim. But I did see some Kim stans posting and being like, she should just let it go. Taylor should just let it go. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like, listen, Kim should understand how you can't let toxicity go. She married Kanye West. Like, it's
yeah, no.
I think it's genuinely deserved. And we get to see art from it. And I love that she spelled out Kim just to make sure we were fully aware of who she was talking about, to capital letters, Kim. That's funny to me because that's
don't you
dumb.
Love it though? Don't you love that?
That feels so dumb. I'm into it. I love it. I love dumb.
I love that about her, that she's just like calls it, like mention it all. There's no weirdness. It's like, you're very clear. She's taking you on a journey. She talks to her audience like we're just her bestie. And I think that's why she has this lasting power, because she brings us into the fold of what it is to be her. I think it's great.
Yeah, I want to see the chart of people who are watching Vanderpump Rules trying to process, or rather deny, Ariana's rage. And the, like, what's the fucking circle called? The goddamn circle. What's that goddamn thing where it's like a
Venn
little
diagram?
Bit of stuff? Yeah.
Venn diagram?
I want to see the Venn diagram of people who have thoughts and feels about Ariana's rage, people who have thoughts and feels about Taylor's rage, and people who understand both. Because I'm in that middle of that goddamn Venn diagram. I get it. I support both of these women being mad as fuck.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, like, she's an artist. She can write about whatever she wants to write about. Look at J-Lo. Look what J-Lo did. She got inspired and she made a movie and a documentary about that movie. Taylor can make good songs, okay? We have our vehicles.
Well, and Taylor did the, Taylor, ha- well, J-Lo also has her documentary series on Netflix when they edited out A-Rod in between finishing filming and putting it out. Like, she took out A-Rod, who she had been engaged to at that point, and inserted Ben into Confessionals, which was like very good. Highly recommend that. And also Taylor's Netflix documentary, Americana.
That's a good
Miss
one.
That's a solid one too. Anyway, I feel like there is a little bit of a through line here. So happy Swiftie Day to people who are celebrating. We see you.
A roller coaster of emotion today.
A roller coaster of emotion. If you are feeling hot and bothered, we love that. We love that journey for you. Feel big feelings. If there's one thing that Taylor has done, she's done many things, it is to encourage the feeling and ownership of big feelings. And on a podcast about psychology, I could not more highly recommend it. So feel your feelings. If you're not into Taylor, God bless you. We appreciate that energy too, but it's a big day for a lot of people. So I'm appreciative for you letting us go down a little bit of this journey, which I do think is connected to Vanderpump Rules, the show we are technically talking about today.
True that. No, but it's all connected. You know, Taylor just took a photo with Teresa Giudice. It's all we're all just these little organisms walking on the same planet. It's fine.
See, nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
So talking about all things Vanderpump Rules, I know that you have had some big feelings, and I'm so thankful to you. I think every AG and Tipper out there is thankful to you for making the sacrifice of watching the newest episode.
I yelled several times.
This has not been a great journey for you. You have not felt great about it, but you do have big feelings. And here at Big Feelings Institute, where we are both studying for our BFA, I just want to open the door. This is your class. Let us know how you're feeling about this season and whether or not you were impacted, LOL, by the newest ep.
You know, here's the worst part. The worst part, I'm watching the episode and I'm hands on. I'm watching it on my phone on Peacock because I don't want any more little secrets. I'm tired of these Bravo games like, oh, you didn't watch the Peacock version? Then you missed two curse words in a hidden scene. I'm like, well, then I'm just going to watch that and I'm not going to watch the regularly televised stuff. So sorry for your ratings. So I watch Peacock now. So I'm every now and then when there's going to be filler, when Lisa starts talking about the new brunch menu, I hit the 10-second jump. So I'm on it. My finger is hovering. But then I got a little snacky and I was like, I'm going to make an omelet. And so I was like, nothing horrifying is going to happen as I'm cracking eggs and I can't touch the screen. Wouldn't you know it? That's when we cut back and Sandoval is wailing into a microphone like a tortured cat. And I was screaming because my hands were in egg and I couldn't touch the 10-second jump button. And I had to hear him miss like four notes as I'm yelling. It was terrible. It was a form of torture.
It does feel a little bit. I mean, I know that, you know, Ali used the word miserable a little incorrectly, although I think Lala's running with it in real time in how Lala was discussing Katie. But it does feel like there's a little bit of a like Les Mis style energy to VPR right now of just, how can we kind of make this experience as difficult as possible for a member of its audience to absorb, let alone enjoy?
Yeah, it's rough. And then to watch him during the episode, it's still playing all the same cards. Like, no one's evolving. It's really weird. It's like zombies trying to drag you into a mud pit. It's kind of how I feel watching it. Like, that's what... And Schwartz with that hair. Listen, For me to have watched that just now, Schwartz with that damn hair, what is happening? I just want to slap him. What is he doing? But at least the one positive thing that he had going for him in that episode was when Sandoval asked him to be his roommate and to pay $6,000 a month. So they would both pay six. So that house is $12,000 a month to stay there. And Sandoval thought that would be a good idea. And he said, no, the optics on that would be terrible. I'm not moving in here. People would joke on us. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. And that's a smart move.
But then Sandoval was like pushing it.
He was. He wanted him to do it.
We can take out a loan together.
He said, take out a loan.
You're just substituting one unfortunate dynamic with Ariana for another.
I think he wants to be a dick and stay in that house. I think he wants to haunt her because she's crying, talking about how she made that house perfect and she wanted to have kids there. She wanted to have a family there. He's being spiteful. This is War of the Roses stuff, is what I think.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. But I did also watch the after show and he has had a little bit of a come to Jesus where he was like, and she recognizes his come to Jesus of like, huh, I wanted to stay here because I just did. And then I started to realize how much money it would cost. And it sounds like he at this point understands he cannot afford it. And Ariana's after show content is like, duh, of course he can't. He thought he was still going to have the same loan from 2021, but you have to do a new mortgage and it's like a different interest rate.
Different interest rate. Yep.
there's a different loan that I signed on that you have to refinance. It's like a lot of refinancing stuff that would have made Tom staying impossible on top of impossible because he couldn't afford it regardless. And he sort of makes the argument of like, well, thank God we had extra time in which to think about this because now I've realized that I can't afford it. And Ariana's argument is like, yeah, no fucking duh. We could have figured this out months ago if you had looked at the actual numbers. And I think that there's, it's not a gray area, but I think that there's a little bit of a happy medium of like, both of these people could have come to that realization or could have moved away from this earlier. Ariana, she was saying like, you know, I could have moved out months ago. I wouldn't have had to stay here. Well, she could have moved out anyway. And this isn't a judgment against Ariana, but she could have technically done that if her lawyers weren't advising her to stay. And we don't know if they were at this point. They might have. And he could have moved out too, but he's a piece of shit. So he didn't. Yep. So the reality is there's reason sort of unrelated to the mortgage rates of why both of these people stayed in that house. They both wanted to fuck with each other. It's not just one person and another. They both did. They both engaged in toxic behavior. I happen to have a lot of empathy for Ariana's decisions. I come from the place of like, people do things that aren't beneficial to them or helpful for them. And I'm on the grading scale of like, I don't look at someone as they should always respond in the perfect way. Otherwise, I revoke empathy. I look at it as she was in a place, she was making decisions she might regret, which isn't, you don't need to include shame in that, but she just might now look back on how she felt then and think like, oh, maybe I could have made a different choice. That's the benefit of having the knowledge of more information, but I'm not going to remove empathy for it. Like, I understand her universe. I understand why she made the choices that she
and
did.
You know what? Kristen would love this conversation, by the way, since we're focusing on empathy, but we'll jump to that later on. But also... That's how she also operates. She's empathy forward if she was a line. But yeah, and I think it's important too that even if you've known somebody for 30 years and they've always been level-headed, if they go through something that like Ariana went through, your emotions and your decisions can change. You're so flooded with all kinds of like sadness, anger. You may not make the best choices, and that's why you have to rely on the people around you that you trust, whether or not it's your lawyers, whether or not it's your family. And so what I've always been told, because, you know, women, we got to prepare for this stuff, right? So if you own a home with someone, spouse, lover, whatever, you come home and somebody's in bed with them, I've always thought, like, I'll leave. I'll roll out. And I remember a lawyer telling me one time, like, don't leave. Because if you vacate that premises, they retain, like, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law type situation. Like, well, they left this home and this is where I live and I have to keep staying here. And they left and I mowed the grass when they were gone. And I took the trash out when they were gone and they don't really own this house. So there's an argument for you to not get your cut, your half. And so that's what I've been telling myself is that she's being smart financially by sticking this out with him, because especially because they're reality TV stars. They're not like multi-millionaire movie stars to where she can say like, whatever, I'll take a bit of a loss. I need out of this situation. So I don't know. I hope it wasn't driven mostly by toxicity. I hope it was driven by a need for financial stability. But I definitely think they both acted out and tried to make each other's existence as tough as possible. That house looks like a pigsty. I was shocked by that. It's like y'all are on TV.
The video of like the years of gross in that house, I had no idea.
Shoes on the table?
I just don't understand. I don't understand why. I don't understand that way of life. You know, like I just don't, I wouldn't feel good. And that's actually something that people told me before I had my apartment redesigned. Shout out to Studio Piccolo, like pre-Clawfist was like, when you have stuff that like where everything fits, you're going to feel better when you walk back in. When you, I mean, there was a period of time where I had like a single beach chair instead of a couch. Like, I am that person. I never invested in a space or organize it. I don't speak that language. I don't know how. Like, I just don't have any kind of interior design. I don't do shapes. Like, geometry is not my energy.
The Shannon feng shui, nine lemons in a bowl.
No, there's no crystal underneath the foundation to prevent against 5G. Like, none of that is a thing. But I did notice a visceral difference as soon as my apartment started coming together of like, I feel calmer, I feel settled, I feel happier. Like, all of that in place, it's like sad. I mean this genuinely, literally sad when you think of what Ariana chose to stay in for so long. Like, it's the process of letting go and of letting go of some of that anger of like, he may win. If the goal is to ensure that he doesn't win the house, and this is what Sheena and Lala were saying to her, he may win the house, but you get to win at life. Like, I know how upsetting it is that this was your dream house. I know how upsetting it was that this was maybe your dream life, your dream man, but it's no longer available. And the house that you're staying in now is different. There's a different attachment to it. So I'm just so happy that in real life, she's bought a new home. Hopefully they figure out they're nowhere near done with this fucking house bullshit. Like, I don't know how the loan and the mortgage and all that's going to work out for them, but I don't hold judgment against her. I don't revoke empathy because maybe in my life I would have made a different choice because I don't know that I would have.
Yeah, same. Like,
I don't know what I would have done because I'm not living her life, but I do have enough. I don't even think it's grace. I just think it's like basic emotional intelligence, which isn't me like making fun of people who feel differently. I'm just saying from my own experience, I have enough emotional intelligence to say the decision she's making or the decision she made was maybe not great for her and not great for her recovery. And yeah, sure, it involved a certain degree of like trying to seek revenge, make him uncomfortable. And I also don't remove a feeling of support for her, of connection or empathy or anything else as a result of that. People can make choices I disagree with. It doesn't mean they're not deserving of a level of grace.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I could make a really strong argument if it was a friend of mine or myself. I could make a very strong argument for staying in the house. You know, you wake up one day and you find out that this man that you thought you were building a life with, however foolish and silly we find this man, that this man has been cheating on you and enjoying it, having a great time. It hasn't been some little secret. He's been dressing up as her for Halloween right in front of your face, giving her gifts. You've been going in halvesies on expensive, you know, retro sunglasses for her. She's been in your bed when you were out of town.
Fucking your
when
man.
You were, I mean, all of this. And so then for your options to be, I stick this out and I... And she found like a sense of strength afterwards. She completely changed to where she like she said a it was like a switch flipping and she just saw him for what he was and who he was and became disgusted with him. And so if that switches and you go from a person in love with this man to like our point of view, you're like, oh, you're not going to win another one on me. You're enough. I'm enough of being your victim. You've already robbed me of blah, blah, and blah. You're not also screwing me and putting me in a horrible financial situation. And you can't trust him. He's kind of a dummy. He didn't seem to understand some basic things. So it's like she can't really vacate, you know? And I think she did probably stay too long, but who am I? I don't know. I'm not her lawyer.
We also don't know. I mean, not to bring up the podcaster as the cast is referencing when talking about Bethany Frankel, but like with the Bethany and Jason stuff and other marriages that we've seen on Housewives
years.
Fall apart.
She was in the trenches for years.
She went through that divorce. It lasted about a decade to get divorced from this man she was married to for between, I think, like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
That being said, they were both advised by their divorce attorneys to stay in the house. But Ariana and Tom are not married. I don't know what the dynamic is. They're not thinking about a settlement. Like, Bethany was the financial provider in her marriage to Jason Hoppe, whose name I just forgot. It's not the same situation. So I don't know. Some of us including I think both of us are assuming that a part of this was her getting counsel to stay. We don't know that that happened. And again, I'm not saying that as a way of like being like, fuck Ariana. I'm saying like we're bringing to this a level of like information that we don't know whether or not that applies. And on top of that, how are we doing with Ariana's like healing and growth? She seems to be doing well in real time. And what Tom is doing in real time is staying in the place of like, I loved Rachel. She says she needs to say that she loves me because the only way that I can get away with this is to continue the truth that this was like one of my one true loves.
An undeniable love affair that I was compelled to carry on, not just who gon' touch my dick. Yeah, not just a disgusting affair because she was there and willing and looked at me with googly eyes, googly deer eyes when I was on stage.
And Rachel seems to be doing her own strategy. It's interesting how Tom and Rachel are spinning this because they have different excuses for why they behave poorly. But I do also think there's synergy there of like both of them seem really invested in disassociating any level of care or protection that they should have had for their friend Ariana so that it means their behavior was less bad. And like for all Rachel is saying, and she seems to be saying an awful lot, for all that she is saying about, you know, taking accountability, quote unquote, for her behavior, she's acting in a way that to me is not dissimilar from Tom of like, well, I can't just say Ariana and I were close and I fucked up. I have to add this additional layer here of like, I didn't consider myself friends with her. But then Ariana in the after show is like, well, I considered her a good friend. So is she saying she just never cared about me because she was fucking my man?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. And I think these are all protective measures that they're taking and they're choosing different directions. What I think is interesting is that originally last season, they had the same story, right? Undeniable love affair. We were like magnets. We were drawn to each other by forces in the earth we beyond our comprehension. Now she's saying, I was never really that into him. You know, we didn't have that kind of love. Very confusing choice she has made to flip that and say I wasn't even close with Ariana. Then what are you doing? Just chaos theory? Just baby Joker out there? Just anarchy. Anarchy! Like what? What was the driving factor?
She does give me a little bit of chaos energy right now.
She does.
Like, she doesn't seem to... I get why she would be interested, and I'm speaking of Rachel, obviously. I get why she would be interested in monetizing her role in the Scandoval. Obviously, that's something that Sandoval continues to be upset by. Like, I don't think it's just that other people are monetizing his affair. I think it's also that he hasn't figured out a way to, judging by his apparel in the newest episode.
The poor cheater hasn't figured out a way to monetize his cheating.
Yeah, I think he's mad at. I mean, he now has that dipping out t-shirt he was wearing.
Oh, my God. My hands were wet with egg. My hands were wet with egg. I could not even fast forward it.
I couldn't believe that this man is trying. He's wearing merch about.
He's trying to hit a note that is not in his human vocal range to hit, screeching like a dying cat with a dipping out shirt. I was out of body.
It was giving me, I don't know why I continue to be so shocked at Tom Sandoval.
Because it is shocking. And then he's got like a little Muppet friend Beaker with that hair. It's ridiculous. This whole show that these men are walking around, they're part of society. Yes, they're on a show, but this is them. They're not playing characters. It's wild. It's insane.
Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to THEOUAI.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's THEOUAI.com with promo code Andy. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate.
That's ro.co/AndyScrolls. Sign up today.
So how are we feeling about Vanderpump Rules? Is this giving us anything?
I mean, it's so, we've talked about this. I can't watch it. The from years ago I tried, and the men, I cannot give them my attention. I can't watch them. It's sad to me that there's division in the group. I was really hoping for like Powerpuff Girls, like girl power, that they were really going to come together. And I thought, ooh, if they're smart, they can make themselves so compelling that these gross guys will just seem like they're middle schoolers stuck in time and will move on, right? But then they're cracking. And so nothing gives the gross men power like the ladies not sticking together.
Well, I mean, not to compare this again to the Taylor Swift Kim era of it all, or really Kim and Kanye, but like, why would we assume that Vanderpump Rules would want to change from what it always was, which is like a level of toxicity based in many ways in a foundation of like bad men? Why would we think that Vanderpump Rules would make the decision to adapt to a different audience, an audience maturing and an audience that does not want that to happen? Like, why would we assume that the show would want to move forward focusing on Ariana, Katie at that point, Lala and Sheena kind of rallying around and hearing their perspective if that's not the way that the show was created and for many years run?
Well, that is an interesting question. I would say I think the ratings reflect that people might have been hoping for some kind of evolution. I've heard that the ratings are at a historical low for the last episode.
But for the season, it's still like...
For the season.
Yeah, it's still a good number. It's just they're basing it off of Scandal era stuff, which it's never going to be.
Which that's crazy.
It's still a big viewership. Yeah.
Of course. But, you know, I asked myself, is it kind of like Jersey Shore? So did you watch Jersey Shore back in the day?
Yes.
You would have been like a fetus. You were barely born.
3 years old, GTL, gym tan laundry. Yes. I was learning to walk Snooki was as well. We were both learning to walk together. So
she was. She was like, I'm a good person, getting arrested while you were learning your first steps. But that whole show was so epic and amazing for the time, but it was very dated. They couldn't make that show today. They couldn't say the things they've said and done the things they did. It was lewd. It was crazy. It was a moment in time, as Dorinda would say. All right. Now they've picked the show back up. They've evolved. They've changed. Most notably, Mike. For anybody, there's maybe three people out there that are listening to this show that are also watching Jersey Shore. And they're like, yes. And that's why there's a draw, because Mike has changed. He did time in prison for evading his taxes. His personality completely changed. He saw the error of his ways. He's like
sobriety.
A family man now. Yeah. Even like the, you know, DJ and Vinny and all of them. Polly, they're still their fun selves. They still have the core essence of who they were, but they have learned and grown and adapted to adulthood. And that is missing for many on Vanderpump Rules. And I think they would evolve with their fan base if they did that.
That is such a good comparison. Yeah. And I say that as someone who has not watched, I didn't keep up with Jersey Shore because, again, I was like learning to walk and read because I was so very young.
You were.
But I have seen many, many clips of Jersey Shore Family Vacation because something happened on my YouTube and like it started showing me clips of Family Vacation. I was like,
knew you would
this
like
is...
it.
Mm-hmm. They knew I would like it. And so I haven't seen a full episode of it, but I've seen so many clips and it's genuinely good.
It's genuinely good.
So I never connected the dots to like, what if Vanderpump Rules learned the lessons from Jersey Shore Family Vacation? Maybe Bravo thought they did in creating the Valley.
I wonder what Bravo thought. But I mean, two episodes into the Valley, I was like, damn. I mean, this is... It's a little different. They might have been hoping for that. And maybe some of the people and couples will. But many of these Vanderpump Rules people, I think, are stuck. And here's what I think a big factor is, too. For the Jersey Shore kids, they essentially hit rock bottom. Mm. Their show was done. It was canceled. They went off and they had to think of other ways of earning money. Some people went off and started a family. Some people, you know, whatever, worked a job, did their thing. But they had to learn and grow away from being watched and tap dancing for entertainment, right? The VPR people have never stopped tap dancing for entertainment. They have not hit rock bottom. They now have like a pipeline to go right from Vanderpump Rules to the Valley, but without going through any real changes. It's just like the name of the show changes, but they haven't changed. Yes, Brittany and Jax were gone for a minute. It was literally a minute, though. So, I don't know. It was a different thing. Like, they were gone, Jersey Shore crew, all of them, off the air. Show was done for years and years and years. And then we checked back in with them. So, I feel like without a quiet moment to reflect, I don't know that change is possible in the reality TV space.
Well, and I also think production's thinking the exact opposite. And to a certain extent, to a big extent, understandably so, they wouldn't want to change and adapt. They just had... It's not about adapting to
exactly,
where
because
from
coming
is.
From Scandoval, for
right.
sure.
It's not about adapting to where the cast is. That would have happened without Scandoval. Season 9 was bad. So I think after season 9, there would have been a come to Jesus of like, where are we moving forward? But then Scandoval happened. And now it's like, I don't give a shit about where these people were before. I need to adapt to the Scandoval to extend this as long as I possibly can. But I think what's happening now is a little bit of the sheen is coming off. Confusion is setting in of like, wait, are these people as characters on this show now adapting to like maybe a new Tom or a writing of wrongs of people who felt Tom was a piece of shit before and do or don't now? Like, are we adapting to situations when it comes to the Scandoval? Is that now our life? Like, it's at this kind of muddled point for VPR of trying to be inside of the Scandoval universe, but reaching a point where it's like that can't be the entire universe of Vanderpump Rules. Otherwise, there's a real universal issue here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and for the longtime viewers and watchers, I kind of rely on them as the barometer for how do y'all think it's going? Is this measuring up? Are you happy with this season? And they don't seem to be. They're making fun of them for doing water tastings and, you know, for vilifying Ariana and pretending like Sandoval deserves a redemption arc. I did love James's moments in this episode. Wasn't that fun? He'll just say stuff to your face, which I appreciate.
James being like, oh, were you trying to make fun of me under your breath? Like, say it to my face, bitch. Like, love that.
Loved
moment.
It. He turned around with that tiny dog and he said, what now? I was like, oh.
He's not going to dip with him.
He's like, excuse me, my poodle didn't hear you. What did you just say? It was great. And I love that he's playing Coachella, just like he projected. Dreams are real, people. As Kim Z would say, believe it, receive it.
The way we're both like, well, I think it, believe, pray on it, something.
Yeah, there was one.
Where's
we're missing
my wig?
One. We're missing one element.
Think it. It's, we haven't seen her in a minute, okay? I don't know.
Oh, I see her all the time. You don't keep up with wig news? I am on it with wig news. I know everything that's going on.
She keeps posting this clickbait. She has me making a single dollar of it, of like a fake.
It's just her face
close up with like a...
with like an oxygen mask with like crazy eyes. And we're like, Kim, you're fine. Kim, stop. Here's $5, Kim. Jesus. She ran off to the slots.
Her phrase, by the way, was ask, believe, receive.
Ask. Damn it. Ask.
We forgot to ask. Nobody asked. And that was the main issue with Vanderpump Rules season 11.
Yeah.
Was nobody thought to ask.
Got
to
have that consent.
James on the after show is great, too.
Really?
He gets right to the point. He's funny. He's direct. Unfortunately for him, he's paired with Brock, but it seems to work. Like, he's really maintaining a breakout role that I think he created for himself last season, that it's, like, lasted this long. So when it comes to the future Vanderpump Rules, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, wait a second, but I don't want to say goodbye to some of these people.
I agree. I completely agree with you. I don't think we necessarily need to, but I think for some of them that are stuck, a break is what they need.
Yeah. Speaking, by the way, of like not listening to someone when they're telling you who they are or what they want, Allie saying pretty clearly, I didn't and don't see marriage in my future. I didn't and don't see kids in my future. That's never how I have like identified. And James interpreting that as like, okay, so a couple more years. I don't know. People change their minds, but she's pretty clearly saying that's not something she wants in her future.
Yeah. I mean, and that's on them. She's got to make that super duper clear.
Yeah.
You know, because that's going to be an issue at some point. So that might be.
It's an issue now.
Yeah, it's true.
He's not ready.
He's fine. He's not. He just did Coachella. You don't want to bring a baby to Coachella. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He played for Taylor Swift twice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then he played her song for her, and she was dancing to it. It was epic. It was amazing. There was so many Bravo crossovers.
And then he, like, changed something about it, and there's this, like, thing that went viral of her face, allegedly she's having, like, having a vacant look. But I don't think it was a negative one. I think she was.
It wasn't. I think she was just listening to see, like, what's he doing with this. Yeah, it wasn't
people
negative.
People were like, she's dragging him. I'm like, I don't see that, but I'm also not Swiftie. But
people
she's come
project,
up 15
projection.
Times. Total yeah. projection. And there's a lot of projection happening on VPR, a lot of deflection.
Oh, for sure.
I have to ask you, I know this is a sensitive point, and she was at the forefront of a lot this episode, but I do need to get a sense of your thoughts about Lala.
Okay. You know that I love Lala. I love a sassy lady. I back a sassy lady in all things. You know what I mean? I think I was shocked by her because she's already had a child. I have had a child. People who have done it know how difficult it is. So for her to be leading the charge of like, I'm doing this solo, I'm, you know, picking a donor. I thought her donor party was adorable. What a fun way to do it. You know, involve your friends, the people that are going to be part of this baby's community. I'm loving her whole thing. I'm just not a fan of the break, the crack in the womanhood and, you know, trash talking Ariana, but I'm a Lala, you know, appreciator.
What do you think is behind that crack? And crack is whack.
People just probably annoyed. I mean, people are probably irritated and annoyed. You know, it's like you only can hear about something for so long. Maybe that's it. Because for them, this hasn't stopped. It's been going and going and going. So maybe that fatigue. But she's so nice. Like when they're sitting, Ariana is so nice. I don't know how anybody could really have beef with her. I'm sure there could be things that we don't see. But, you know, you hear things through the Bravo accounts about who's kind and who's not. And she's always gotten the most glowing just reputation. And I remember something happened a long time ago and she was the only person. Oh, the first BravoCon that I went to, I took a photo of the VPR ladies on stage and they looked so good. They looked like angels. And I remember tagging them all and being like, you ladies look so good. Because I was right there. I was in the front. So there's no secrets, right? And I'm like, you all look like beautiful dolls on stage. And she was the only one to reply back and be like, thank you so much. It was really nice of you to say. Nobody else, you know, they were too busy or they weren't checking, whatever. So she always seemed like more of the normal person, connect with the fans, no ego, girl's girl. And here Lala is sitting next to, you know, her and Katie saying, well, I haven't reached out with you, Katie, because I didn't know my place here. And the look on Ariana's face, and she reaches over like to touch Lala and she's like, don't feel that way. And so I don't really know what Lala's doing. I don't know what's happening there because I've never gotten the energy from Ariana like, oh, it's just me and Katie and you can't be a part of this. She's very much like, you can sit with us, it seems.
Well, Lala's making it into a character issue. She's saying that Ariana is bad, that Ariana's ego blows everybody else out of the water, that essentially Ariana's doing too much.
And again, I don't know where she's getting that from, though.
It feels a little bit like and apologies to Lala for making this comparison, but it's not to me dissimilar from what Sandoval and Rachel are doing of trying to explain away a certain level of behavior by separating oneself from the person that they might be attacking on a future episode. Who's to say? sort of like paving a path in reverse of what Sandoval is doing in real time of like, Ariana and I were never happy, and that's why I fucked Rachel. Except now Rachel and I maybe weren't happy, so I don't know what to do with myself. And Rachel being like, I fucked Tom, and it wasn't as bad because Ariana and I were never really friends.
Barely knew her. Who?
With Lala, it feels like she's doing a version of that, of like, well, you might see some behavior in upcoming episodes that might not make sense. So let me ensure that you feel, let's breadcrumb. They're breadcrumbing. Like, let me plant some seeds here of like, well, Ariana's not great. So maybe if she comes down to my level or I rise above hers, this will somehow equate.
That could be it. See this show. This is why I can't. Mm-mm. So many games.
Also, speaking of games, in watching the scene, the like insemination shower, I totally into it. No problems. Catering looked amazing. I would also ask LVP, because who doesn't want her to pay for a party? And it's going to be so much better than what anybody else is doing.
I mean, do you think if LVP was homeless, she would be as popular? I don't think so.
No, but we would never have known her, because we need Villa Rosa.
I'm just saying, if she gave up her homes and she lived in like a tiny condo now, she was like, girls, I'm done mowing the grass. I don't want the ponies anymore. I want a simpler life. And she went and lived in a condo. I don't think we'd see half as much of her, because people always want to use her house for stuff.
I think that would be a whole new show.
And it's a write-off. It's probably a write-off.
She would be even more successful, because she would have yet another show for us to watch. The whole thing with the insemination party, like, God bless, and like, let's normalize people making choices that work for their lives and for, you know, potential life that they're bringing into the world. But are we supposed to take literally that when her friends and family were voting for who the donor should be, that Lala went with that choice?
Oh, no, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, this is brilliant, because you get to make everybody feel involved, but you're still going to pick who you want at the end of the day.
But did she? I mean, I guess if she's only naming a couple people, she was, I guess, comfortable, equally comfortable with all of those people. So it was okay.
And she probably presented it in a way that made a clear winner, you know?
Okay. All right.
Like, you're not going to go with the goo you don't want. Like, you're going to go with the one you want. At the end of the day, no matter which way your friends vote, you're like, know what? I wanted goo too, and that's what I'm going with.
One of many points of this is, like, you get to take control of your life, which, again, God bless, mazel, we love to see it. But why are we giving up
control? Why are we crowdsourcing?
I get, and it's great for TV too. Like, I get it. You get great paddles for TV and everything else. But I would do a kind of like American Idol, like the judges have a vote, but so does the people.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think I was hoping that she was going to make it more say yes to the dress, right? Where it's like everybody weighs in, but it's the bride's final decision. You're all here because I love you. You're part of this. But at the end of the day, I'm wearing the dress I want to wear. And that's a dress that you're going to have on for like 3-4 hours, right? Mm. So Lala's picking what she wants, I think. It was like say yes to the dress to me.
Okay, I think it was maybe I just didn't like the production angle of it, of like everybody else gets to choose. I didn't love that. I think that
They could have done it better.
They could have done so much better. And so now we're leading into the latter parts of this season. It's not that I hate it. I think I'm just that's a great scale. I'm so tired by it. I'm exhausted by the Sandoval of it all. I'm exhausted by him being such a bitch.
I got to take a nap later just from what I saw.
I really honestly, like, I watched it last night and, you know, I usually watch episodes like more than once. Although when there's like a ton of Housewives, there's no chance of that. But like with this, I was like, watched it once. Don't need to watch it again. I watched the after shows today for This in the Valley, but like, or it was combined. But I just kind of feel like I don't like I'm sort of dreading the reunion, because I think it's going to be this kind of litigation of whether or not Ariana deserves grace and what she owes to the rest of the cast for, God forbid, being the star.
Oh, for sure. And we've all heard Lala going around saying, like, this reunion changed me. And after this reunion, I don't want to have anything to do with several people. So I'm expecting lots of lines in the sand and people breaking off friendships and it being very negative.
And the thing is, like, look at how Ariana and Katie are responding. Ariana's not responding. Her response is like, I'm living my best life and that's the best revenge.
She truly is, yeah.
I know that Katie was on Danny Pellegrino's pod this week. I do definitely 100% want to listen to it, but I heard some clips and I really genuinely feel for Katie because she's sort of forced into this feud that she doesn't want to be a part of that seems confusing to her. And it's just kind of like exhausting.
It was, and it was just that same way watching the episode. I mean, she's tearing up, almost crying. Listen to what Lala is saying to her, that she somehow hasn't been a good friend, hasn't checked in on her enough. And then Sheena butting in, being like, well, what I've learned is she just needs you to, like, check up on her more. I'm just like, stop, guys. It was horrible. It really felt middle school. It felt like, well, I can't be your friend because you're friends with her. And it was that moment that actually got me thinking, like, what is it about the Jersey Shore people that's different from this group? I'm like, well, they've kind of evolved. And the women stick together on Jersey Shore, too. They always make fun of the guys. And I don't know. Like, I'm concerned. I'm slightly concerned about VPR, but.
Is there going to be a point where VPR goes a little bit on pause? Or are they just going to kind of squeeze all of the water out of this stone?
All of these shows at some point will sputter out. Whether or not it's, you know, Sandoval collapsing off of his walker and we just can't do it anymore. Or or whether it's viewers waning in the next, you know, 2-3 years.
I'm going to tell you what, if there's one thing I never want to see, it's a season where the Toms live together. That disgusts me. I don't ever want to see it. If they're trying to set something up for next season.
You don't want the Bert and Ernie? The Bert and Ernie special?
No. That's not how I want to get to Sesame Street. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that even a little bit. I don't know what's going to be left if it's next season and Ariana's not in the cast. And I assume if Ariana's, because I don't see Ariana, I feel like everybody's showing her a way out. Like, if Ariana's not there, and I assume that means that Katie is not there, because I don't know who would be an ally for Katie aside from sometimes Tom. Like, I just don't know where that leaves us. I just have a feeling of dread.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not awesome. But, and I think it's also hard because at the exact same time, The Valley is on and it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, I expected nothing when I went in and started watching The Valley. I was like, what is this hot dookie that I'm going to peer at for 45 minutes? But it's popping. That dookie's popping every episode.
I, like, didn't want to watch it. I was like, no, you're not going to make me watch
the show.
I didn't
either. I was like, I'm going to try it. It's a new franchise. I'm going to try it. What'd you think?
I mean, we'll get into it. We're going to record it, taking it personally about The Valley.
But... Oh, I thought we were tail ending. I thought we were going.
We're to be continuing.
Oh, look at us.
This is a little bit of a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills into the first ever episode, the season premiere of Pump Rules. So I do think we should get that party started. Anything else remaining to say about VPR? I mean, there's a lot we haven't gotten to. Sheena's barely come up, which feels a little bit on brand.
As soon as she came up, I was hitting that 10-second jump, baby.
You tapped out.
It's like she puts on the same jumpsuit and puts her hair in the high shih tzu pony, same thing, and does the good as gold dance with the platforms. I'm like, Sheena, baby, we got to evolve. Look at Madonna. Like, just pick a new look, pick a new something. And it's supposed to be a remix of the song. So don't go back. Don't go back.
Oh, is that what that was? I mean, I like the song.
Sarah, this is the kind of song, like, it makes me feel like I'm about to have a stroke.
Why?
It's just, I can't, I don't know. It's like a jingle. It's like a paper towel jingle or something that you'd hear and be like, what's happening? I don't know. There's something about the song that's very dated. Again, I like that they're doing a remix. Would I play it in a club? Absolutely, I would. And we would all go crazy. But I'm just saying, like, take it as a whole. I feel like it needs to evolve a little bit. And
we're not going to a club.
Well, if I had a Bravo club for one night and I only played Bravo hits.
It would be all James all the way, baby.
that displayed to me too visually, like they keep going back to like this glory days thing for them instead of moving forward.
It's kind of a downer. I need an upper after Potomac. Like I'm looking for the light. And the nice thing about VPR is there's been stuff to discuss, but that's going to dwindle out. I feel like it is dwindling out as this season wraps, which you need energy going into the reunion. We need a sense of stakes and of reasons to care. And Lala screaming at Ariana in the finale, which we've seen in the trailer for the mid-season, or screaming about her. I don't know that she was there. I honestly forget from what we were shown, but like, that's just not giving, that just makes me feel more tired. I need a lift. I need something that like inspires us to have something to say. In musical theater, when you're watching a musical theater show on Broadway or whatever, the reason that people sing is because when words aren't enough. And that to me is like why the reunion should exist. When there aren't enough episodes there to say, then we break into reunion song, and VPR just isn't accomplishing that.
I know. Yeah. And I don't know what's going to happen. I think the only hope for the show is that they go back into like land of positivity. And again, we're watching the wreckage from Scandoval. So I got to keep that in mind. Like, it seems like it's been going a long time, but it's really only like the season after. So maybe it's a regrowth season. I don't know.
Yeah, I know a lot of people initially when the season started were like, how are we still talking about this? But obviously, this is only months after finding out about the Scandoval. Like, they're obviously still going through it. And I think maybe after this, hopefully there's a little bit of a pause and a reset. And maybe there will be some big moves. Like, maybe there literally will be some big moves of, I assume, Lala. If there is going to be a crossover, I don't know that the Valley is open for that. I don't know that they need
it. Oh, they're open for it. Are you kidding? They'll do it.
But that would only happen if Vanderpump Rules is like dead in the water. Lala's not leaving VPR unless VPR is leaving VPR.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We'll see how far they can keep hobbling along. And I think it's also a question of Ariana. Like, does she want to stay on that show? I really truly thought that she, Katie, and Lala were going to do a spinoff. And that it was going to be about Lala and her new journey and her family and rebuilding. And it was going to be about Katie and Ariana rebuilding and their sandwich shop and all of that. I thought it was going to be growth and positivity and moving forward. And so, I don't know. That's why I don't like the fracture with the ladies. So I'm like, you guys could still shoulder roll out and do that. And people would watch you.
And Lala has made that literally impossible.
Yeah. And now pooped on.
Well, it is a little bit of a to be continued. I'm so excited for us to shift over to the Valley. But in the meantime, can you tell the AGs about High and Low, a little bit of a thesis statement about the pod? I'm so excited. You've embarked on your podcast journey. It's doing incredible. Tell them a little bit about what they can look forward to in listening.
I just have such a fun time. So I do the recaps that I used to do through my Instagram stories, and I used to watch an episode and, you know, add commentary and, you know, take on it and show some 10 seconds of footage or whatever. But that, you know, if you post that up to your Instagram stories, they just disappear one day. Like, they time out. There gets to be too many and they're gone. And it's not orderly. It's crazy. So it's so much better to put all those recaps in pod form. So if somebody goes back and they decide they're going to watch Potomac, you know, two seasons ago, they can go back and listen to those. They're more thorough. So it's just better. We're just growing up around here. We're doing our best to grow up, unlike the VPR kids, you know? And then I also do dives, and it's so much easier to talk through a dive linear from beginning to end than to have these little choppy stories up there and hope that somebody reads all the text so that they don't forget a fact before we go two more slides forward. So it's easier to talk through that too. So it's fun. It's fun. Did you ever hear the dive I did on Jen Shah and waterboarding?
Waterboarding.
Okay. You got to listen to that one. That was probably my favorite one. That was fascinating.
Oh God. That makes me, there's a connection there.
Yes. And Trump University.
Oh God. All right. Yeah. Well, that'll be post Taylor Swift. That's another tortured poet, Jennifer Shaw. So
that's true.
Jennifer Lynn Shaw. So I look forward to listening to that. Can you tell the AGs and tippers where they can follow you on social?
Yes, at Bravo Bravo Ducking Bravo on all social media platforms. And the pod is High and Low. New episodes Mondays and Thursdays.
Amazing. And guys, have you joined the Andy Scrolls Patreon? It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. New episode going out this weekend. I have some thoughts that combine. I've been thinking about this thing in my head for days, and I just need to present it to the class. It has to do with Potomac. It has to do with Southern Charm. And there was just a realization that occurred to me in watching part three of Potomac that I do 1000% need to get into. So that'll be up on the AG Patreon this weekend. Again, number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. $2 a month gets you my absolute genuine thanks. $5 a month is where bonus episodes kick in. You get 2 episodes a month. $10 a month gets you 4 episodes a month. And there's a premium tier, the People's Couch, where you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly or have a private Zoom Kiki. We can deep dive whatever it is that you want to discuss. So thanks to all the Patreon supporters for being so incredible. And again, you can sign up now at patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram at allegedlythreads at Dame Galley and BB. Nope. And BB. I can't do it. And
you can do it.
And BBDB, let's shift over to the valley, shall we? Sweet Valley High.
Let's go. Let's go to the valley. Said no one. Ever.
Oh my God. When they started talking about the temperature of the valley, I was like, oh, I would melt down. That would be very bad.
No, Sarah, me. I said it in my first recap of the valley. When I first moved out to LA, I lived in Valley Village. I lived in Valley Village in an apartment complex there. I signed a lease, and within 6 months, I educated myself on how to get out of a lease. And I had someone come in and sign over the lease in the apartment that it was a beautiful, big apartment in Valley Village. And I was like, F this, I'm out. And I went over the hill into Hollywood, West Hollywood, and I never looked back. It is too hot. And it's just like, there's nothing there. It was just like a random shopping cart in a parking lot, and it was a million degrees. But that was a long time ago.
You know, it's so wild. And I don't know if this is like the East Coaster in me or just like the Sarah Galley in me, but I never put like 2 and 2 together that the valley was a valley. So when
legit
they started
valley.
Talking about the valley as a valley, I was like, oh, is the valley a valley? Like I never thought about it. I just thought about it as like West Hollywood, you know, Soho, Brooklyn, Midtown East, the valley.
Sure,
like I just
sure.
didn't think.
You thought it was a moniker, not a description.
Yeah, and I also, you know, I don't know, land, much like geometry, it gets lost in the days of time. Anyway, guys, we're going to shift on over to that episode, which you can listen to very soon. And in the meantime, thanks for listening to this one. Bye-bye.